I would like to ask you one last question before we take the questions from the audience who joined us. I want to ask you if you do anything specific as a practice, not necessarily a religious practice, but a spiritual practice to put
Well,
Mother
yes, I
Nature
try to, sure.
into.
I tried to do this, Jeyramche wrote this thing, Denzok, Rimni Denzok or something. I forgot now that I'm forgetting the title. That's of my age, you know. But, you know, where you practice Kerem and Dzogrem together in a session. And I, of course, I'm just playing at it, you know. I even have retreats with students who have initiation. I never give initiation. I don't feel competent to do that. And I'm not anybody's guru, but I'm a Kalyana Mitra, you know, Gewa Shenek. I'm not actually officially a geisha. In Bhutan, people very generously call me Geisha Law, they do. But actually, I'm not a geisha. I didn't actually get the geisha degree at all. So I don't claim that. But I am, on the other hand, the meaning of geisha, that is Kalyana Mitra. I feel I am a spiritual friend of people. But when I do, I say we are like children who have a little dollhouse and then they play house, you know, and they serve tea in a little tiny cup, you know, and they do like it. So when we try to visualize the mandala of Guhya Samaj or something, yeah, we're playing, we're like children playing house, you know, just in order to get something to realize this marvelous, magnificent tradition with its fantastic teachings, you know, not to claim that we're doing some big practice because we're probably not capable. We're just really deepening our idea of emptiness and our idea of compassion and our feeling of compassion. But we don't pretend we can really do this. But on the other hand, we do, we play at it. So I sort of play at that in some time like that. You know, I recite sadhana, which too much often is just katan instead of gandan. I just reread it, you know. And I try to do Kyabche Lingrim Rinpoche, who was my second greatest teacher. He insisted that I should always do it in Tibetan. Even if I translated anything, I should still recite it myself in Tibetan. He insisted. He was very firm about it. And so I do, but I will glance maybe sometimes at the translation or share it with someone else, but I will read it in Tibetan. And so I do that, and then I even try to do a little yoga. And actually, you know, there's a great new thing, Karma Rinpoche. I want to call you Rinpoche anyway, and I'm calling you Rinpoche, Karma Rinpoche. So there's a great new thing, Rinpoche, which is. You are a Rinpoche to me. And that is that Hatha Yoga, which is so popular and is best way is taught where they don't lay too much heavily Hinduism on top of it. They teach it as a discipline to understand your body and even they get into subtle body. But it seems that Hatha Yoga comes from Vajrayana actually. And the in between, in the early second millennium, common era millennium, they kind of changed Vajrasattva to Shiva a little bit. You know, Sanderson, you're called, you must have known Sanderson well since you were at Oxford. I met him only once, but I never debated him. I let him have his theory, fine, no problem. I refused to do that. But, you know, he thinks it all came from Shiva, but it turns out. It may be the other way around, but it doesn't matter because at the high level, it doesn't matter. You know, as you know, we've considered Shiva emanation of Chenasing. So they don't yet have, they think Vishnu can be Buddha, but they didn't have an idea of Shiva like that. But Shiva's just a yogi, you know, he's a hippie. Shiva's the hippie god, you know, from before the avant la lettre, you know. So anyway, I'm just saying that those yogis are kind of doing some aspects of Trukor, you know, for Dzogrem Trukor. And they really are doing that. And they don't necessarily have the idea about the openness of self. They, a little bit from Vedanta, they do, but, you know, some of them don't. So I think it's a very fruitful interconnection to do in a responsible, careful way. And I try to do something like Dumo, you know, like some kind of yogas and thinking about this chakra and that chakra. So I try, but I consider it play. I don't consider I'm competent to really do it. And of course, I haven't had a result other than a little flash of a feeling about clear light must be there. And this Nang Che Ner Topsum, I have a strong sense that's there, like Book of the Dead thing. And also Dzogrim, that's all in Dzogrim as well, as you know. And I'm trying to work on this Gyulu and also the Tongsuk of the Kala Chakra. I'm trying to understand that stuff. I really love it. And Dzogchen and Chagchen, all of that too as well. And so I like to play with these things and think about them and enjoy them and I admire them to inspire me and anyone that I know to try to develop the prerequisites, the mundros, you could say, which maybe take a few lifetimes because they're so magnificent. And the horizon of potential possibility is so huge for the human being that to make a meaningful human life, it's, I think it's good that people have that kind of perspective, put it that way. So I try to do that, yes. And I get terribly busy and I forget the time. And nowadays, by the way, I'm almost 80 years old now. Next year I'll be 80. And one fact about being older is time goes more quickly. And you get up in the morning and you try to do one thing and suddenly it's nighttime. You just, there's no sense of time. It's incredible. And and so so therefore you feel a little bit sense of urgency, you try to practice what you can. You know, on the other hand, I still lose my temper sometimes when somebody does something. It makes me upset, and I still feel this and that. So I'm, you know, I know I have my kleshas. I'm still carrying my bag of kleshas.